Zechariah chapter 8. Well, let's read the whole chapter because we've never done that, but it's all connected with what the essential part of it says. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. That sort of gets your attention if you think about it. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of this city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? And thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, now do you guys remember where Zechariah went, the time that Zechariah is preaching and teaching? Okay. He's contemporary with Ezra, Nehemiah, on he's going, just, the city was destroyed.
The fun group.
Huh?
The fun group.
Yeah, the guys that went back and all that was standing was a cornerstone and the altar. That's all that was there. And that's the same thing that's happening now for us. All that was standing is this cornerstone and the altar. The altar is the altar that is the same, and the cornerstone is Christ. And we are the building blocks of that temple. But anyway, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets. Now, again, all that the body of Christ knows about. And that's why the book of Zechariah here is so important. All that the body of Christ knows about is that there is an altar and there is a cornerstone. They don't see the finished temple. And you remember, they went back with great enthusiasm. And then for 16 years, they didn't do anything except build their own houses. And Haggai got all bent out of shape at them, and Zechariah got all bent out of shape at them. You remember? You earn money to put in a bag full of holes, and the little bit you earn, I'd blow on it.
Let me tell you, it's not air conditioned either. It's a hot wind.
You live in your sealed house.
But the point of it is, it's an eternal truth. Now bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days the words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heaven shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, and the house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these things, For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now, in the middle of all this stuff comes this weird scripture. Okay? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, which is the fast of the fourth month is what?
Tammuz.
The fast of the fifth month is what?
Yeah.
The fast of the seventh month is?
Abib.
And the fast of the tenth month? Fast of Esther.
Yeah.
Shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you, or better translated, that God is in you. Now, the only fast enjoined in the Torah is what?
Yom Kippur.
And these four, then, are the only fasts that are enjoined in the prophets. Well, the three others, plus the fast of Yom Kippur. So of all of the fasts and everything that is, they've got a fast for everything. But these are the only four that we celebrate, that we partake of. But the mystery of it is the fast, you understand, it's, how can I say this? When all of this good stuff happens, the evidence that it's happening is that your response to these fasts will be joy and feast instead of a burden. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like your mental condition with regard to the fasts decides where you are. And the only thing that keeps you from being in that mental condition that can say of the fast, this is a joy, this is a feast, is the lack of repentance. Now that's the message I want you to tell people. Okay? Everybody understand that? It's where you're, because this, it already is a joy, but if you don't perceive it as a joy, then in this inexorable trip, your response to the fast defines where you are. And that's the true way that you can discern, you can rightly divide the word of truth. The word is eternal. How you respond to it defines where you are. All right? Let's go to Lamentations.
I'm thinking of the fast of the firstborn, Saturday of Passover, when there's always so much work to be done, so many things to get done, plus you're fasting. And you can look around, you can tell who's where.
Okay. Again, even Lamentations, it's a view of position. If we understand that it's finished, and it was finished before the foundation of the world, then at any time on the timeline, even when the most drastic things happen, even when what Lamentations is about, your response would look at Lamentations not as it would be a joy, because the Jerusalem that now is gone. Remember this, the fast of Tammuz is when the Gentiles came, broke in to the wall of Jerusalem, broke through the wall. 21 days later, they defiled the temple, burned, you know, all the other good things, threw the keys up. But if you can hear this, it becomes a joy when you can see that it's your Jerusalem that now is, that is being destroyed and has been destroyed. And the new Jerusalem you see fully prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what you see eternally. So even the destruction that's prophesied and accomplished in Lamentations and the bad parts of Jeremiah, you see as a joy. Even when you lose all things, you count them as a joy. Even, I mean, can you understand that?
It's kind of like in, you know, Psalm 119 or something where it keeps saying, you know, thy judgments do I love. It's that sense of...
But you cannot do that unless you see this finishness. Otherwise, it'll be a hustle, it'll be a mind game. It'll be positive confession or something that will always fail. Okay, everybody understand this? And that's the sense that I want you to try to see and give to the people. That, well, think on that. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow, she that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces? How has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. It's this period when the wall is penetrated, when there's a hole in the wall. Remember in Ezekiel 8, there's a hole in the wall. Now go in and dig and see the door. And now in that 21 days, spiritually, is the destruction of all internal idolatry. And that's why this feast is so important, and this fast is so important, and this period of time is so important. It's the celebration of the destruction of idolatry. It's when you spiritually can say, I no longer, if you don't read it, but there's a great line, it's when you can know the end of the, I can't quote it, but it's by the end of the fast of Ab, you will no longer need to read Avodah Zarah, which is the huge tract of the Talmud called Strange Worship. And that's what we studied in Revelation this morning, and we just studied it from another view. We studied in Revelation 13 of the seven heads and the ten, and the crowns and the ten heads, and I mean, and the you know what I mean? But each of those are that's the Sanhedrin in this Jerusalem that now is. It's your Sanhedrin. Each of those seven heads has 10 crowns. And each of those 10 crowns represent the 10 sorceries of Egypt. They're the same 10 sorceries, but they have a different view based on which head they're on. Okay, by the destruction of the Jerusalem that now is, there's no more high places, there's no more idolatry. You suffer the loss of all things and count them as done. You can rejoice in tribulation. You think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. You look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. That's why we can enter this season of fasting with joy.
So this 21 days, or a picture. I mean, we've all been in these 21 days for a long time. And it's the same as the 42 months.
Sure. It's another picture. It's another metaphor.
It's just the time between the breaching of the wall and repentance.
The wall was first breached. Your wall was first breached. The moment your Jerusalem that now is was first, the wall of that city was breached the first time you heard that any kind of self-seeking was evil.
And there's been people running through the streets tearing shit apart ever since.
Once you heard that, then there was a hole in the wall. You had ears to hear. The 21 days can take 21 years. 21, who knows how long. Just like the 42 months can take 42 years. It's the period of time that's outside of time. So we redeem the time so we can make the 21 days 21 seconds.
Well, it explains to me why it has felt the way it's felt. Which is, and it's felt like all that warfare, trench warfare. Like,
well, I know.
Hand to hand.
As we said this morning, it really isn't.
Well, I know. But I mean, that's the way it's felt, and now I know why. Because when the wall comes down, a Jew sitting there in the city thinking it's a terrible thing is offended by all these Gentile hordes that flood in and defile it.
Cut off his pee-pee.
Make a mess in the street.
Make things messy.
Walk on the grass. Leave trash.
All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted. She is in bitterness. Well, anyway, we'll have plenty of time to read Lamentations later. But
all he says is, please. There's always time for Lamentations.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that to be justified by faith means that the same thing it meant with Christ. He was manifested in the flesh, but he was justified in the spirit. We can never be justified by our senses. Now, to be justified by faith declares, otherwise it would be partial justification if you can see this. The phrase to be justified only by faith has to mean that everything is finished. It has to mean that the New Jerusalem is already prepared, coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. It has to mean that time is over. Otherwise, you'd be partial justification. You understand? I mean, and so it's the simplest doctrine of being justified by faith confirms it is finished. Now, in order for us to know that, there's no other way than to suffer the loss of all things and count them but dung. Now, that's why it's almost impossible to know any of this stuff without community. Because if it was not in community, you would have to experience everything uniquely you. But in community, we are treated as one, and each of us fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body. And that's but in that part and parcel of that, the sense of the community has to be having all things common. Otherwise, this can't be true.
Otherwise, somebody else's suffering
doesn't affect you
any good. Yeah.
Right. That's why the idea that whether or not you're a church or a body is very easily defined. It's defined by Paul. He said, if one hurts, all hurt. If one rejoices, all rejoice. If that doesn't transpire, then you're not a body. Or if you hold it in and don't speak it, then you're in danger of not being part of the body. All right. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Justified by faith. A new way of looking at it. Where are you?
Well, it's dawning on me that if you withhold,
you make that a lie.
Well, it's like the worst thing you could possibly do, because it's more than, you're robbing the body of that which is vital.
Yeah.
It's like suffocating or starving the body to death to withhold. Because the suffering is that which is necessary.
Is that, and someone else has to experience.
Right. It's like the worst thing you could do.
Well, I think I told you before that Wenzel's got this great book that on what cancer is. And in normal cellular structure, the cell gets its energy by oxygen, by oxidation, by oxidizing. Right? That's why the flow of blood and the oxygen in the blood and the red corpuscles, the red blood cells and all that. In cancer, the cell gets its energy by fermentation. The opposite of oxidation. So fermentation only it's fermentation is prophesying inward, fermenting inward.
Literally, it's doing that.
What does it do? Like grab another cell and
it's really wild. What it does is once that process of fermentation starts, no matter what the cell looks like, every cell that has cancer looks the same. Because the fermentation makes this.
That's how they can recognize
there's only one cancer cell.
Right.
Huh. DNA cells or something like that.
Yeah, it becomes the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. Only one. Yeah. There's only one Antichrist. There's only one lie. And it's revealed.
That's a lot. But each manifestation was the believer's ship.
Yeah.
That's wild that the uniqueness of the cell is found when it's in submission.
When it's healthy.
When
it's giving.
Rather than when it's in rebellion.
When it's saying, I'm unique.
Yeah, that's when it becomes the submission.
So, it's like this grand Mobius strip.
Yeah. You can't get there if you're trying to get there.
Yeah. That's why you can't make a decision for.
Like a giant failsafe, God's giant failsafe.
All right. You got that all? Everybody understand that perfectly? Chapter 5, Romans. By whom also?
Therefore.
I read one. John and I know I read
by
one.
By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. Where is this grace that we stand? It's the New Jerusalem. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I mean, the idea that anyone could glory in tribulation is almost unheard of. It's not masochistic in that you don't go looking for it, but you glory in tribulation because you know the finishedness of God. You know that anything you lose, whatever you lose, is a gain to this mystery.
I wrote down here that it says in we glory in the tribulation, which is, makes it more like it's you recognize this process,
right,
of squeezing for what it really is.
Thlespis. Yeah, it does have the article in it. So it's the tribulation. Thlespis, the squeezing. All right. Daniel chapter 10.
So this isn't tribulations. It's
tribulation. There's only one tribulation. Chapter 10. It's right after Ezekiel. Well, I don't want, let's not read that. You guys can read that later. But it's again, Daniel 10 is read 1 through 12. And you guys have all got the notes on Tammuz, right?
Yeah, we have our little notebooks.
Okay.
Yeah, at one point we did get a an actual folder.
Just like this.
Yeah.
It's got the readings and it's got all the stuff that you need. Okay? Because I'm not going to write a memo. First of all, it's costing us too much to write the memo.
Just send a memo.
What?
Just send your book.
We didn't get one before.
It's not a memo, it's like a whole
booklet. It's a booklet. And it's a booklet that has both the Fast of Talmos and the Fast of Ab in it. Well, let's talk about that. Let's make this fast real enjoyable for the people. So let's...
You need it
earlier?
Yeah.
No, later, so that we can glory in the tribulation.
Glory longer in the tribulation?
And it'll be cooler to the outside. Got to read all that Bell and the Dragon.
Yeah, there's a lot of readings. Let's do this. Let me just suggest this. Let's meet at 3.
Right.
No.
Seder
group to do the readings. Right. And we should be done with the readings about 5:30 or 6. Then at whatever that time is, 5:30 or 6, let's go up to the Rutledge's and have a cup of sanctification.
Well, 5:36, everybody ought to be well tribulated.
Okay.
I'm in favor of that cup of sanctification.
And we have a cup of sanctification, and in the people that are working on the food will have been excused a little bit early, so and then we'll go down, we'll have a cup of sanctification, sing a song or something, and then go down and eat. Okay? So can everybody take that? The readings are several. It's Bell and the Dragon, Susanna, and then the two main readings from the Apocrypha. But there's a lot of other readings in your notes, too. That are...
That's some neat stuff.
What do we read it at?
Is Susanna the one that... In the garden?
Lamentations.
Two old guys trying to get her in the garden?
No, we don't read Lamentations.
Now we better start out...
We read... Yeah, we do. We read Lamentations and Job. That's right. You're right. Baruch, Letter of Jeremiah, Song of the Three Young Men, and Prayer of Manasseh. Plus Lamentations, Job, Jeremiah, the bad parts. And Psalm 119. Right. Okay.
Jeremiah, comma, the bad parts.
The bad parts.
My new play.
Is that cool with everybody?
You know, this is the first time, I don't know if it was reading the whole night or the reading of Zechariah to hear that. That didn't set my teeth on edge for a fast, or gave me a sense of anticipation, with joy, to something that normally is, you just either you just do it and get it over with, but to anticipate it is something different.
Well, that's the spirit that I hope that you all can impart to the rest of the people.
I don't know why, though. I just have that.
Well, that's the whole point. You have to have it in order to impart it.
Yeah.